Welcome back to the Goalie Corner, presented by One Stop Goaltending. I'm Coach Michael, and today we have Mathieu Caron back making another appearance on the podcast, talking about his recent successes and how he manages to continue to excel. If you want to listen to his previous episodes, they are 31 to 33. He's got three of them in a row. Welcome, Mathieu. Hope you've been well, and thank you for taking your time.
Oh, thanks for having me. Excited to be back. It's been too long.
Yeah, I feel like last time we talked probably for about 3 hours. And we're good for a while here.
Oh, yeah. It's always a good time.
Yeah. I wanted to start off with a bit of a reflection question. With the personal success of your last season, what are the majority takeaways for you?
Looking back on the season, I mean, obviously, kind of freshman year, had an all right year, felt good about my freshman year, but, towards the end of it, I was really kind of more in the mindset of, all right, I'm not just a freshman trying to get in to games. Like I'm a starter now. So it was kind of like, all right, we're next season, I am the starter. And I want to be one of the best in the nation. And so that was the goal coming in. That was the goal all past summer. And coming into this year, I was really hungry. And I wanted to prove myself. And then one of the big focuses for me was probably a little bit more consistency. And just if the team was struggling a bit one game, then I pick up the slack. If I'm struggling in one game, I know the team is going to have my back and do the same for me. But there was that consistency of a little bit less of like, all right, play two good games and then just a 6-7 goal game. So it was really just minimizing those really tough games. And when those games are kind of, you kind of know those are happening, you're like, all right, well, we still got to minimize this as much as possible. And I felt like that really contributed to a lot of my success.
Okay. So you mentioned a little bit there that your reflection of last season really started from the season before and the mindset switch, right?
Yeah.
Instead of like getting lucky into getting a couple games to, okay, I'm the guy, I'm going to make the games count, right? When you were doing the summer training, did you have a different focus, or were you like, okay, I need to pay attention just to the details a little bit more and then I'm golden?
No, honestly, it was just more of a different mindset. Cause I mean, coming into a new league, whether high school to juniors, college or college pro, any league jump, you never quite know what to expect. You haven't experienced it yet. You still don't know a lot about the next level. So you can prepare yourself as best you can. You can get yourself in as best shape as possible. You can work on as much stuff as you can, but nothing can prepare you to play at that next level. Unlike playing at that level. So coming into my freshman year, it was all about, all right, let's learn. Let's see what it takes. Let's see how it feels.
Right.
And I was lucky enough where by the end of the year, I'd already kind of built that comfort. I was like, all right, okay, now I know what to expect before the season had even ended. So I got that little bit of taste of like the last couple of games of, all right, I'm more switching to that. All right, I'm the guy here. I'm going to start acting like it. And coming into the season, I knew exactly what to expect for this season. I mean, you're coming into the same position. I'm like, all right, well, I'll be the guy. I'll be the starter. Obviously, that's never guaranteed, but that was my mindset. I'm going to be the guy again. And I'm just going to work on those things that I maybe struggled on a little bit last year, and I'm going to hone that in, and now we're just going to roll. and have bigger goals to set.
Yeah. I like how you're using the comfort. For me, when you were saying that, when you were getting comfortable with the situation, I think what you're actually doing is building self-confidence in this situation, right? Self-confidence is defined by evidence that you can do something, right? So the more experience you have in the game, in the level that in which you're playing, wherever it is, the more confidence you have playing at that level, right?
100%. And I mean, I think that's I got pretty lucky where my first college game was, I had a good game against a highly ranked team. So then it was like, all right, well, I know I can do it. I can compete against any team. I know I can keep games close. I can win games against anybody. So I'm going to be so then it was just, all right, how do I get back to that? And how do I do that every single game? And right. So last year it was kind of, all right, get a feel for everyone that we played in conference, and then the travel, the school schedule, all that. It's all a learning curve. Like, you're learning, there's so much more than just the on ice skill development at the college level. So once that all kind of settled in, then you can start focusing on, all right, what am I doing? What am I doing right? What am I doing not so right? And how can I maximize all that to let less goals in?
That would help.
At the end of the day, that's all that matters.
What were some of the focuses that you had either during the beginning of the season or in the summer of how to improve your game, right? Because I think we can be honest and say it's going to be a pretty small detail that changes the large picture.
Yeah, I think, obviously kind of just the mindset of, all right, let's build for consistency. And then just kind of skill wise, obviously I wanted to kind of build on my skating. I've always kind of, once I get to a new level, I tend to be a little bit more over energetic and overexert sometimes. So it's kind of just almost simplifying it and gotcha. And reining it back a little. And then working with the goalie coaches, just tested out a few little things during the summer. Post play was probably one of the biggest things that we really focused on. Kind of incorporated the Bob shuffle, I think we call it, where it's coming across, instead of using a T push, it's kind of like a long step.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Which I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I end up kind of trying it out during the summer and end up really liking it. And felt like on a couple times, it just gave me that extra depth while staying on my feet coming across. So
have you tried anything with the panda?
So that was a one I kind of like, it was one of those ones where I was started doing it without even
noticing,
having that as the focus when it came to post play.
It's really just an overlap, but
yeah,
you being a smart goalie, you're like, okay, why would I point everything at the shooter when there's so much going on behind me?
Exactly. And so it honestly, I was, the focus was not the panda. Like, that was never like, oh, I'm going to do this in this situation. It was more of a, like, how do I get into the post, or like, how can I be in the post? Like, at what point do I switch from overlap? Cause I do love my overlap. Like, I have my overlap, like even last year. And then it was like incorporating that, like, all right, I know I can move laterally, like I can move well, but how am I gonna maximize that. When's the timing of, all right, when do I switch from that overlap finally into that post if he comes back around the net? And so I think a problem with some of it is just that some coaches are kind of just teaching the panda.
Yeah.
Whereas
you really need to know when, why, and how.
Exactly. And that's where it's kind of like, all right, well, yes, I can be in that position, but it's like, all right, when do I actually use it? When am I in this position? And honestly, I found myself more, not so much like on my knees in the panda. It was all, honestly, I was definitely using a lot more like staying on my feet.
Right.
And kind of, so then I was still staying up on those kind of tighter angles to take away. And then obviously if shooter shoots low, then I'm forcing him down. I'm forcing him to shoot low instead of being, and I'm only 6'1". So I'm not, if I go down too early, I can be screwed pretty quick.
Yeah. I like it for a lot of reasons. And one, because of what you just described, right? For the shorter goalie at 6'1", right? I'm 5'11", so I kind of hate that you said shorter. But for the shorter goalie at 6'1", almost say now traditionally just go into the RVH on those tight angles, you are exposing something, right? Yeah. And players have gotten pretty darn good at hitting that low spot.
Yeah.
So you're just showing more patience and you're dictating where that puck goes.
100%. Right? And it's an uncomfortable feeling when you're not fully used to it, where it's,
oh yeah,
it's in being that overlap. That's the biggest thing is, I mean, I've worked on it quite a bit now. And that was probably one of the, like, again, that post play, from that point kind of on, was a big focus for this year. And so it was kind of just, all right, how am I, there's a lot of times where it just, all right, it ended up coming in and guy comes in tight and he's got nothing really to shoot at. And if I had gone into my RVH, he probably had a couple more options. So that probably saved, I don't know, maybe 3 to 5 goals this year.
But, yeah.
3 to 5 goals is a massive difference at the end of the season.
Yeah. It's always kind of weird to look back in the numbers and be like, okay, that saved me here, that saved me there.
Yeah.
But it's, for me, RVH is a great position, but we're at the beginning stages of like the panda. I hate the name, but like, it's really just an overlap.
Yeah.
Like that's it, right? Like the only thing is that there's like 4 combined things into it. Overlap, yeah. Under rotation. Some people say RVH is in it without the post, like whatever. But I completely lost train of thought.
I think the biggest thing was that, I mean, just seeing on social media a lot of it explaining, because I know it kind of blew up at the start of the year on social media especially. I found that a lot of coaches were kind of just explaining it from the already down position and kind of just like looking at it as an RVH.
Yeah.
Or an RVH replacement or substitution, when in reality, in my opinion, it really isn't that. And there's
a new tool.
Yeah, it's a new tool and it's a step. It's not, I wouldn't say it's like the middle ground.
Yeah, it's not like a technique. It's you're playing cautious and being patient.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where if you start to if you're trying to teach it to kid, I mean, there's so many different aspects too. I mean, you got to look at the goalie to begin with. Whereas for me, my hip mobility allows me to be in certain positions that some goalies might not be able to, or size wise, like honestly, if like me and Clay, obviously we're both a high level goalies, but I mean, we're just completely different.
Very different.
I mean, he's, I don't know, 6'5".
Yeah, he's pretty short.
And guy can move well too, which is annoying. every goalie's going to play it slightly different. And again, for me, I kind of use it as a, like, on my feet. So like, I don't really actually love using it actually being like on my knees.
Yeah.
And so I only go down if that shot is finally taken, but it's more of a, like, I really like it as an extension of my overlap on my feet.
Yeah. And we can get into this when we have that conversation, like goalie round table. So yeah, we can all be pinging ideas off each other. But I remembered what I was going to say. When the RVH first came in, it was kind of like my generation's new skill.
Yeah.
And it was, some people loved it, some people hated it, right? And we only had the skate blade on the post. We didn't know about the toe bridge aspect of it or the ankle break. So we're kind of in the learning stages of, okay, this works here, this doesn't work here.
Yeah.
Like, where are the flaws with it and where are the corrections with it, right? So it's kind of cool that now, me being a coach, I can see firsthand how a new technique, air quotes, is designed, developed, and how the goalies that are currently playing are adapting it to themselves.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, like, Shesterkin's probably one of the goalies I watch the most. Like, I feel like he really innovates a lot of new things into his game. And he's obviously one of the best goalies in the league.
Yeah.
But his ability to kind of keep, even season to season, to keep adapting, adapting his game, which is, I think, one of the hardest things to do. And it's one of those things where it's like, all right, it's going to be the goalies that keep adapting and evolving that are going to be able to keep up with the game evolving.
Yeah. Evolving is a good word, and adapting would be just another simple other one.
Yeah.
Because everything, like, from when you started playing in the BC, you knew how to stop puck, you knew how to move, you knew how to do everything, right? To an extent. Everything's either just getting simplified or just adding new tools and understanding when to use it. Like, I'm sure you've made a pad stack save once in your lifetime.
I have no idea if I have.
You've never practiced it, but like messing around at the end of practices, probably, yeah. Right? Like just doing it out there. Was
down and just threw up a pad or something.
Like, that's another like tool.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't say like the old school skate save is a tool, but maybe. I'm not going to teach it, but maybe.
And what if, how, again, whatever stops the puck.
Exactly. Like there is no right or wrong way to stop a puck, just an easy and hard way.
Yeah.
That's my kind of philosophy. And if you need an example of the hard way, just look at Hasek. Right. That guy was nuts. Getting back into you though, it seemed like you were kind of in a constant state of flow or in the zone all season. How did you manage to stay in that mindset?
I think it was honestly being more present. So kind of really taking it like half period at a time. So, I mean, we've got like the TV timeout at the halfway points, like usually like 9 minute mark, 9:30 mark. And so you break the game down to like six parts. And like realistically, like in 10 minutes, I mean, unless you're really getting peppered, you're seeing a maximum of like 10 shots.
Yeah.
That's a really busy 10 minute period.
10 shots is busy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you think of it that way, it's like, all right, I can make 10 saves. And like out of those ones, it's like, all right, like six of those are like probably grade C.
Perimeter.
Yeah, grade C chances. Two, three of them might be a kind of grade B like shot. And then maybe one grade A.
Right.
So like, and I think like, obviously like you limit as much of those grade B, grade C's, like those become, or try to make those automatic saves. And then it comes down to that one grade A, and all right, if I can make that grade A save, then that changes a lot. I can change a lot of the game in that one save. Yeah. And I felt like this year I was, again, eliminated a lot of those grade B, grade C chances. And we're basically was kind of, if it hit me, it wasn't going to a bad spot often. It was just one of those things where if those shots were getting taken, then I wasn't going to give much
right
on that end. And so it came down to those grade A's. And then that's kind of just when your instincts take over and you battle. But again, it was kind of being more in that present moment. It was honestly like you relax a little bit and you don't focus on the game that you have in three games. Like,
right. Yeah.
I like my, like everyone knows the schedule. Like, coaches are going to give you like all the video for every game and everything. And they're going to do the pre-scout. Like, you get all that done.
Right.
So you don't have to start worrying about, all right, who are we playing in November? Like, that's not going to do anything for you right now. No. And also that's all I did. It was, all right, who are we playing Friday? And all right, during the week, all right, playing this team Friday. Then once that Friday game was over, all right, we're playing Saturday. All right, let's get after them on Saturday. Nice. And it just kind of, yeah, you just simplify it. And yeah. I think that's a big step. And it sounds simple, but it is honestly hard to do, where you're trying not to let your mind wander to other things, like, all right, how, like, what's going to happen after this season? What's going to, like,
yeah,
what's gonna happen next week? It's all those things where all that stuff gets in the way. And if you can try to just eliminate all that or as much of it as possible, then you're more focused on the present.
Right. Now, for you to get there, did you have any, like, living in the moment almost, or thinking in the moment? Do you have any tips or tricks? Like, did you maybe get a sports psychologist, a mental coach, maybe meditation? Like, those are all kind of like the top three popular ones when people say almost exactly what you said, right?
So I've worked with a sports psychologist before. I've worked with a lot of kind of yoga instructors, kind of on meditation. So I felt like I had a pretty good base of knowledge. Obviously, I definitely want to kind of step that up even more next year. Hopefully learn a little bit more. But yeah, you have that. I wouldn't say I'm superstitious. That's one thing where I think it's, I can't remember who I heard it from. I think it was the 2012 Olympics, and I think it was, yeah, the Canadian women's goalie. I can't remember.
Zabados?
Yes. Yes. I believe it was her. She had said like, she didn't have superstition.
Yes. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it made complete sense to me. It was like, all right, if something happens before the game, that's out of your control. And you're so set on having that, like, you put so much emphasis onto that, then
you're screwed.
If that doesn't happen, then the rest of your game, like, you're just thinking about that instead, yeah, of focusing on solving a puck. And so ever since then, I've tried to apply that as best as possible. Where, like, I mean, I have my routine. I think that's, like, that's important. I think there's a difference between a routine and kind of superstitions.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll jump in here real quick. Like, her thing was, she doesn't really even have a routine. She has things that she wants to get done, like, yeah, hand eye stuff, like certain warm up stretches, meditation sort of stuff. But the order of it, she says, is like in the moment. So, yeah, what she feels like doing next, she does. So meaning she doesn't really have a routine, because she felt like keeping the same routine and making sure everything was like in a line was superstition, right?
That's honestly explaining it better than I was trying to explain it.
My dad gave me such a hard time when we heard that. I was a very routine, rigid guy.
Oh, okay.
And then he told me that, and I kind of like, yeah, okay. But also not having a routine is a little bit superstitious as well.
Exactly. So, I mean,
there's like yin and yang on everything.
I think you could classify anything as a little superstitious at some point, but it's kind of like, yeah, like it's, for me, it's all right. I'll wake up like from my nap, like pregame nap. I'll usually like kind of set it at a certain time so that like, all right, I know I'll have time to get to the rink on time. Like,
yeah.
But even if I take my time, or if I get dressed faster for some reason that day, like it's like those little things that are like, all right, like time wise, like, all right, I know I have this amount of time. So yeah. All right, let's give myself this amount of time. But from then on, like, honestly, it's like get dressed and then go to the rink. And honestly, I love kind of just talking to people in the either, whether it's like the trainer, the equipment guy. We had the sergeant, like the police officer who's at most of our games. So like, honestly, I'd walk in, like talk to him, would either be 2 minute conversation, or either be a 10 minute conversation. Obviously by the end of it, take my sticks, whether it was one needed to be taped, whether it needed to be two needed to be taped. All right. Get that done, get it squared away, and then do some hand-eye stuff. Did kind of my warm-up, but again, it wasn't to the point where it's like, all right, this is how many sets I'm doing. It's like, all right, my body's feeling good at this point.
Exactly, right? Like I was just about to say, I'm sure a lot of your routine is, hey, I want to do like just throwing stuff out there, like tennis ball off the wall. I want to do high knees. I want to do a little bit of stretching, maybe a little bit of explosive stuff. I'm just going to go until I feel good.
Yeah.
Like nothing more. I'm not going to exert myself.
Yeah. Cause like some days, I mean, you play a Friday night, usually like, I mean, college schedule is usually like Friday, Saturday night back. Yeah. So that Friday night, you might have a little bit more energy, or like you might not be, your body's not quite as like, it needs to get woken up a little bit more. And so then it's like, all right, well, I've got a little bit more energy, like, or like, I just, it's going to take me a little bit longer to get to that feeling of, all right, I'm ready.
Yeah.
And then Saturday it might be like, all right, 1 minute. All right. Yeah. I'm feeling ready. Like, let's go.
Yeah. Like I went to sleep ready for Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it again, like you said it perfectly, was, it just doing the stuff that you have to get done, or like you like need to get done in order to just feel like you're ready.
Yeah. You know what that could actually almost be equated to is being in the moment.
Yeah.
Right. Listening to your body and being like, hey, you know what? My glove hand feels a little sluggish. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on waking that side up.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's like, all right, well, like, yeah, just like the conversations, like you just kind of go with the flow of how that day's going, how that kind of pregame's going. Like you just go with it. If there's kids on the bench that game, like there's like a chair, all right, like we'll like toss a couple pucks, like all that stuff. Like there's no one on the bench, then all right, well, who's on the bench? Like is there an equipment guy? All right, we'll talk to him a little bit. We'll, hey, my skate's not feeling great. What did you do?
You instantly go for, hey, you didn't do your job well.
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I haven't pulled that one out
yet. Are you that guy?
It's no, I honestly, unless it's like really, really bad, I was using the women's goalie's glove for the first couple of games of this season.
Really?
Because my glove from last year, my new gear hadn't come in yet. So then I was using like my gear from last year and just my glove was just too beaten up. I was like, I might break my hand here. So I'm good friends with the women's goalie. So that I was like, she had like an extra CCM one, like she's that like she had really never worn. So I was like, all right, like different like it was like a 580. Usually I'm in a Bauer Supreme. So like completely different glove.
Very different.
And I was just using that for the first couple of games of the season.
Didn't convert you to CCM, eh?
No, I mean I liked it, but like I was just like, I don't know. I like the other one a little bit better. That's how much I like it. Like I said, like I unless it's like the skate sharpening would probably be the most obvious one, but yeah. It really has to be bad for me to be like, hey, I need to get these done.
Yeah. I feel like everybody has like two or three pairs, like sets of skate blades now anyways. So it's probably just change out, change in, and then fix it up.
That's the nice thing about the new technology is just making all that stuff a lot easier.
Yeah. You committed to Boston University, which means after two seasons with Brown University, you made the decision to move on. What sparked that decision? If you're able to get into it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of thought went into it. I definitely was kind of just focused on the season. At some points, like friends were kind of like, oh, like what, like are you thinking of transferring at all? Like, because I mean, hockey world is a small world, like everybody talks, and some people were starting to ask questions like, hey, like, he's doing well. Like, would you ever think of going to a different team? Like all this stuff. And I was just like, honestly, I don't want to talk about any of that. Like, I'm not going to think about any of that till after the season.
Right.
And so once the season was done, it was kind of just like taking a time to kind of just relax. Went to Germany.
Yeah. France, I saw that.
Big
Europe trip.
Yeah, my girlfriend was playing professionally over there, so it was a nice little trip, getaway, not thinking about hockey at all. Kind of by the end of that, and like obviously like talking with family, friends, it was kind of just like came to the point where I was like, I think I would like to explore the portal, and I kind of just did my research where it's like, all right, there's going to be a lot of teams that, already at that point, a lot of goalies had signed, like Levi left. And so it was one of those years where it looked like a lot of teams were going to need a goalie or like a starter. Right. And so I felt confident in my abilities. And after the year I'd had, I was like, all right, like I show that I can be a starter at this level and can do it consistently. It wasn't just a fluke freshman year, fluke sophomore. Like I keep building.
Yeah.
And so
I guess you do have two more years, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. So then it was just kind of, it came down obviously kind of like, all right, academically, like obviously leaving an Ivy League is a tough decision, but being pre-med, I'm going to have to do some schooling afterwards.
You're in pre-med?
Yeah, I'm bio pre-med. So
I don't know if we talked about that last year. I think we might have, but.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously that's kind of like another aspect where for me personally, it was like I know once I'm done playing hockey, that's my plan to this point. I mean, obviously I hope I have a decently long career, professionally at whether it's North America or Europe. But it was looking at, all right, I'm going to have to do some post-grad anyways. So I know this is on my last point of school. And so for me, I mean, being from Canada, almost I could be going to like post-grad school in Canada.
Because I don't think it transfers as simple as it probably should.
It's just like the Ivy League kind of influence doesn't carry as much weight kind of in Canada.
Really?
For like say medical school. It like just getting in, like, I mean, my girlfriend is going into neuro, so she graduated from Brown, but yeah, like, I mean, it's those little things that you kind of look at, like you ask a lot of questions, and Canada definitely looks more just, all right, what's your GPA?
Oh, really? Wow. That's surprising.
So it's a little bit less of a, so it's just those little things where it's like, all right, well, if I go to another school and, well, hopefully you have a little higher GPA.
Yeah.
Than a school like Brown. Brown's obviously an amazing school, but it's not an easy school. So for me, just for my personal situation, it was academically, I was like, all right, I can still achieve all the goals I want to achieve academically and career wise. If I do transfer, and so then it became a question of hockey, and I just felt like I would like the chance to be on a team that kind of could give me a chance to win a couple more games. And it really came down, and obviously that's not a knock on Brown at all. They're
very different focused, I think.
Yeah, and right. It's hard obviously for any of the Ivy League teams to build those top programs, just because the schools are academically focused, and it's just one of those obstacles that kind of they unfortunately have to deal with. But no, Brown's got a up and coming program, so I mean, like, who knows, they might win the Ivies next year. They have the great possibility of doing that. They've got good recruits coming in. But for me, I kind of just felt like it was more of a decision of, all right, I would like to be at a school where hockey is a little bit more of a focus.
I think Boston University has probably like top five exposure programs. Like, you're going to be playing in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. So So kind of just, and I was definitely lucky in kind of hockey. So like, obviously, Guerrero, who's at Northeastern, was the one that recruited me to Brown. And like with Levi signing, Camasso signing, Swayman signed a couple of years ago out of Maine. And so just like, I felt like I wanted to go to Hockey East, and just because, again, that exposure is a little bit more in that conference. And I really love playing like PC this year, UMass, Boston College. I really like the style of it, like the style of those games. So I was kind of like, all right, I know I can go into that conference, and I kind of know what to expect. So it's obviously there's a million different factors to think about. I feel like I was about as thorough as I could, talk to as many people as I could, talk to, I mean, any school that wanted to reach out, reached out. So it's kind of just like, all right, well, from there, it's comes just a little bit of negotiation and
right.
What can we do? What's next year look like? And BU just kind of seemed to be the best fit for me academically and hockey wise.
And so it wasn't like when you got into the season, or maybe halfway through the season, transferring programs wasn't on your radar at all? Or not like someone might have like planted a seed and you're like, okay, I'll come back to it at the end?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone talks about everything.
Fair enough.
So like, I mean, it was just a bunch of, I mean, people were asking, oh, are you going to sign after this year? It's like, I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I'll get that opportunity. So it's kind of all those things where it's like people ask you a bunch of different things. And for me, I kind of just looked as like, hey, like, I'm not focused on that at all. Like, yeah. Nothing can happen until after the season anyways. For either of those cases. So I was like, you know, like I'm going to focus on this season. Like, I want to have the best year possible. I'm a Brown Bear as of now. So like, I'm gonna finish this year, obviously as a brown bear, and I'm gonna do everything for this program that I can. And so, yeah, once I finished, I mean, I took a week off just to catch up on school, catch up on sleep, like really.
I'm sure it's been a lot.
Yeah, hockey was not at all even on my mind for that first week after the season. And then once it kind of got to like, all right, what do you want for next year? And so obviously then that's when all those kind of conversations had to be had and all the kind of research that goes into making a decision like that started.
Perfect. I think I'm excited to see you play for Boston University and just compare the two. I don't think it's going to be a big comparison, but I'm excited to see you there and develop and grow and get the exposure and like just stay on the streak that you've had, right? Like, I'm not saying it's me, but ever since I talked to you last, because maybe you're just on my radar now, it's just been a constant upward slope, right? Like trend, right? And it's exciting.
Oh, I appreciate that. No, I mean, obviously, I think one of the biggest things I've always focused on since I was young, honestly, was every year get a little bit better. And I mean, some kids, like they peak real early and then just kind of sell for that. But the game keeps growing. So then they stall and they're able to keep moving on. So, I mean, you got to keep that steady build. It doesn't matter if you're not the best goalie at that time in Pee Wee, Bantam, juniors, like if you're continuously getting that little bit better every year, then well, you're gonna keep moving up. So yeah. It's that's really the big mindset that I've had for years now, and I'd like to think that I have done that. Got a little bit better every year, so
I think it's evident if we just look at your stats that you have.
Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
It's obviously easy to look at stats, and but I think basically I've gotten better mentally every year, which that probably correlates to better stats.
Yeah, like this past season, you played 24 games, 2.49 goals against average, and a 9.21 save percentage. That is just looking on an elite prospect. So I know it's not like rock solid, but that is your highest save percentage. And that is your lowest goals against average besides Yale. Okay. But that was five games. Like, that's pretty cool. If you think about it, like, you're still constantly getting better.
Yeah.
And there's still room to grow, I'm sure.
Exactly. So it's
who cares about stats?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, the stats kept getting brought up everywhere this year, and I was like, honestly, I don't look at my stats during the season.
Yeah, and that's healthy, right?
And like, so I'm not focused on, all right, I hope my stats I hope I'm getting high stats. Like, I'm just like, well, you play, and whether like in junior, it was kind of like, all right, I want to win. Like, I want to win obviously as much as I can. Usually when you're winning a lot, your stats are doing better. So
exactly. Right.
That, like, that's kind of a mindset, whereas I'm going to do everything and win. And usually all that other stuff follows.
Exactly. And Mika Kirchhoff had a famous interview, and someone's like, oh, do you feel bad about they won a game like 8-7, like crazy high score. Oh, are you worried about the seven goals affecting your stats? He goes, the only stat I care about is the win column.
Exactly.
And he's like, yeah, fair enough. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that was a big thing this year. It was like, I wanted to win more than last year.
Yeah. Right. And it's kind of like, if the team does well, everybody does well.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Just to wrap up, do you have any words of wisdom for the younger generation?
Um, do as I say, not as I do. No, it's one of those things where every goalie's gonna have such different experiences. And what has worked for me might not work for anyone else. And so everyone's got to kind of be honest with themselves at where they're at presently, and really kind of just look at, all right, what are my goals? How am I gonna get better? Because I mean, everyone has to get better. I know I have a lot to work on this off season. I know I can step up my game again next year. So it's one of those things where, I mean, I think we touched on it quite thoroughly through this, was just getting better, that little bit better every year, where if you're continuously getting better, then you're going to see those. It may not be an instant gratification of, oh, you're the MVP of the league or something. But I mean, no one really remembers who was MVP in Bantam.
Or besides the individual.
Exactly. So it's like, all right, yeah. Well, wouldn't you rather be a starter at the junior level when you're in Bantam? Like you keep stepping up, and if you continue, those goalies that continue to grow. I mean, you look at Clay. I mean, he was playing junior B his first
season. Clay's an enigma, man. Like, I don't understand his trajectory.
But yeah, he I mean, his trend line went way up, but peaker, but it's the same thing. He got better every year. And I mean, he's on a tremendous growth path. So yeah, it's the same thing. I'm going a little slower, but
it's steady Eddie, right?
Exactly.
So believing in the process.
Exactly. So
and you're just gonna learn from Clay's mistakes how to properly sign something, and you know, the ins and outs of the East Coast and the A.
Oh yeah. So I mean, yeah. I'll let him set all the groundwork, and then I'll hop in.
Yeah, take a spot.
No, he's a hell of a goalie.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for jumping on again. And
yeah, of course.
See you guys next week.